Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenant radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit. Keep a sense of blood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Jim Jesus and Diana Davison, can you feel it? Yeah. Is it working?
All the way from my toes.
Yep. Diana's a Ferner. She's trying to take our jobs from Canada. I was listening to Ferners last night. They're trying to take our jobs, like Hugo and Dan Green and Katie Green. And I didn't even mention Diana because I'm so racist. I think Canada is part of America. I forgot.
I think we are too. So
yeah,
you're not alone.
Yeah. So the name of this episode is "Any Man Who Claims to Be a Feminist Is Just Trying to Get Laid." And I don't know if that's radio friendly or not. I'm hoping it is, but. That's actually a slogan I came up with in the 80s. Me and my friend Little Mike sat down at sushi one time and came up with like 50 button slogans. And there was this company called Ephemera Buttons that bought button ideas for $25. And we made up 50 of them. And I made up two that they used, but we split the money because we agreed we'd split it. So we split $50. And I came up with "Any man who claims to be a feminist is just trying to get laid." And Jim will like this. I forgot to tell you this the other day. "I'll be grateful when they're dead." And those two buttons, you know, the Grateful Dead, those two buttons like were in head shops all over America. It was this company that like they did rack jobbing. Like they brought the rack in that had the buttons on it, you know? So yeah.
So I would have done, "You can't smoke everything, but you can try."
Boy, anybody who's just tuning in for the first time just thinks we're a bunch of hippies. But, you know, we do think Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. But we have an agenda today. Diana Davison is largely known for this YouTube channel called Feminism LOL, where she laughs at feminism. And she has like hundreds of thousands of views of some of the videos and has quite a following. And it's not just a following of people who love her. It's a following of people who hate her. And some of the people who hate her are friends of mine. Like, I lost friends because Diana is my friend and is a co-host on the Freedom Fiends. Like, there's people who think, "That just goes too far, Michael Dean." And
it's so sad. It's so unnecessary. I mean, it's like, with these people, like, you can't have other friends that they don't like.
I know. That's really...
people don't have to like me immature. To have good conversation.
"You can't hang out with Diana. She's got cooties."
It's so South Park, man. It's so... What's the guy in South Park no one likes? It's so Cartman. To say,
"You're friends with him, you can't be friends with me."
But, and the thing
I
is,
just
like,
think I'm doing a good job when I get people riled up.
Well, and also, like, you don't even really talk about that, those topics on the Fiends. Like, the Fiends are kind of your respite from the thing that you've pigeonholed yourself into because you're so successful at it. And so, like, got such an audience. Like, you're like, it's kind of like how when I was a bike messenger, I didn't want to go ride bikes on the weekend. I wanted to sit in a dark basement and smoke cigarettes, you know?
Yeah, and all the chefs that I know eat at McDonald's.
Yeah. Jim, you got any analogies for that?
Jeffrey Tucker eating at McDonald's.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You work at an old folks home. I thought there was an old folks, you know, on the weekend, I want to hang out with babies or something. I don't know.
No.
Actually, babies have a lot in common with old folks. You probably want to hang out with teenagers. All right,
it's more like I have to hang out with all these people and then I go home and I just want to hang out with nobody.
Yeah, there you go.
Myself.
I want to hang out with my internet friends.
Yeah. So but tonight I've issued a libertarian, what's the word for it, Jim, where we allow sin? A libertarian indulgence. The Catholic thing. And a libertarian indulgence, which is usually what I give when someone really needs to break the non-aggression principle and go kill somebody. You know, it's a libertarian license kill, but in this case, it's just going to be, Diana's going to talk about feminism for a couple hours. So you're going to talk about feminism and women's spirituality and this weird cult chick and this weird cult dude, Stefan Molyneux. Who's the weird cult chick? Tell us about her.
I came across this character. Her name right now is Teal Swan. She used to be Teal Scott, and she's been married a couple times, so this is her current one. And it actually is her husband's last name that she took on, so Swan isn't just made up. So Teal Swan.
Teal Swan is her actual name.
That's her actual name.
I think she lives in Wyoming. Yeah. I looked at a video of her dancing on the desert and or out in the Badlands, and it looks like my county. I think she lives in Natrona County, Wyoming. It's like nothing on this planet looks like this. The Badlands in this one county. So that's my guess.
She claims to have grown up in Utah.
Oh, okay. Well, Utah and Idaho kind of look the same too. Wasn't she held prisoner sexually in a cave in Idaho? Isn't that part of her?
Well, this is her claim, but she also went to a therapist who's been reprimanded for implanting memories, specifically ritual abuse memories.
Ugh.
So it's amazing when people follow people, a cult figure like this, they don't catch these little details and ending that they don't. But now, just to set the record clear on the feminist issues, Teal is not a feminist. She's a spiritualist. She's a New Age. Well, she claims to be an alien, actually. And she also says that she used to be Sai Baba, this religious figure in India, that she's reincarnated. But she can explain, because there's a new Sai Baba who's currently alive. And her explanation for how she could have been Sai Baba and this guy is also Sai Baba is that with divine, you know, incarnations, there's a multitude of spirit energies that get together and agree to do this thing. And we work together as a team to incarnate into this one person.
So it's not linear. And it's not like, you know, someone has to die for someone else to be born as that person. They can be sort of this primordial soup of souls all at once.
Yeah, they were just part of the incarnation. Of that person. And also, actually, she was asked about somebody claiming to be the reincarnation of Christ, because we have one of those. I'm sure we have many of those right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to diss a fellow mystic. So she said, well, I think that there's a really good chance that he is, because this is the age of the return of Christ. And so we're going to see lots of these people. And a spirit like Christ is many, many, many souls who all got together. And I'm just like,
why is everyone always reincarnated of someone cool? To quote the show Peep Show, you know, what about all the Chinese toilet cleaners throughout the millennia? You know, what about the German serfs? Why is everybody always somebody in the reincarnation and not a nobody? Because statistically, your chances, if it could exist, would be much higher of being a reincarnated nobody.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the big questions with Teal is that if she used to be Sai Baba and she's descending here as a teacher, she's coming here specifically not because she has to, but because she's decided to help the human race, then why did she go through this claim of ritual abuse that she's given? She claims that she lived at home with her family who weren't the abusers, and they took her on trips to China, and she was almost an Olympic skier of some sort. And she did horseback riding, and she had all these great things in her childhood. But at the same time, from the age of 6 to 19, one of the people in the town that she lived in was apparently ritually abusing her and burying her in holes, selling her as a sex slave, and getting her to lure immigrant children. And then she watched this guy burn the children in front of her. She watched children being murdered.
Is there a criminal record of any of this? It seems like you could not probably burn many children in Idaho without the authorities noticing it and it being in the newspaper at least. So has anyone checked these claims of hers?
Well, she was forced to report it.
Yeah. Where did Timmy go? I haven't seen him in a while.
Too soon, Jim. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's convenient that they were immigrant children who might not be as well documented and reported. Mm. And, you know, and she also, there's something about some sort of a lava cave that she was blindfolded and left there tied to something, some lava cave. I don't know if those exist in Idaho.
Probably.
But, and when anybody questions the story, it's like, oh, how dare you re-traumatize me?
Right? It's built in. It's kind of like the Jews, and you know, I love the Jews, so I'm not criticizing the Jews, but we were talking earlier about this cult expert, Steve Hassan, the Jewish guy with the Arab name.
Yeah, he's
Arab
an interesting
name.
Character.
He has an Arab name. He's pointed that out himself, but, and he has said that Stefan Molyneux is a cult leader, and, which is kind of definitive too, because like Steve Hassan is the guy that's like called in trials as the expert. He is one of the leading cult experts, but I have issues with the guy. The guy is horribly pro-state. He was horribly pro-state in the whole Waco thing. I mean, he thought the FBI didn't quite...
That's not true.
What? I know he thinks... Oh, you meant sarcastic?
No, that's the whole thing about Waco isn't true. Him being a statist is true, but he's from Massachusetts, so...
Right.
You know, but no, he was very vocally opposed to what the government did in Waco.
Right, and but
he still maintains Rick Ross.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was Rick Ross.
I get him. Not the rapper, not the drug dealer.
Right,
he's another cult expert. Okay, but he's also Steve Azan is adamantly like practicing Jew. You know, and I'm like, how can you be objective about what a cult is when you believe you are from the chosen people? It's just culty, you know? You said that, Diana.
That is a core problem with Judaism.
And it's a built-in...
In terms of them getting along with the rest of the world is this whole chosen people thing.
And you can't criticize it. If you criticize it, you're worse than Hitler, instantly.
But really, like, any group, if it wasn't... Say it's not that religion, but it's, like, some other group that starts up and says, we're the chosen people, that phrase itself would cause a lot of concern. And
yeah.
If you're not in a part of their group and you're claiming that you want to live peacefully with them, well, that kind of stands in the way. You can't live as equals when one part of the population believes they're chosen.
They're better.
And you're not.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's my problem with Hassan, actually, from what I listened to on the Joe Rogan Show interview is where I mainly have heard his thoughts on Stephen Molyneux, is that he had trouble sort of... He was really hedging when he was asked about his own personal religion. And I think that's really important to identify as an issue. But I don't really care if he's a statist or not, because you can, you know, be a non-statist, or you can support the state, but still have really valuable opinions to offer in other conversations.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In the same way that, like, people might agree with me on certain areas, but they might also think I'm a despicable person because of a video I made once. Right?
Well, someone told me tonight that you want women to be hit, and you don't want women to be hit, right?
Well, I don't want anyone to be hit. Yeah. That's just absurd. I have no idea where they got that from.
Oh, there's some people I think should be hit, but they're not a particular sex or group based on
actions. I do think that women who think that they can just hit men with impunity and that they can't be hit back, I really think that they need to find out what it means when you hit someone.
I've been hit. I've been punched in the nose, had my nose broken. How about you guys? Ever been hit like that?
Yeah, but not nose broken.
Not by Joe Rogan. We'll be back with this trip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends, we're talking about
dance that dislodges the demons.
It's Freedom Fiends, we're talking about cults,
women's spirituality, just a little more spiritual and feminine.
Well, I came across Teal because I was looking up this idea that women have some spiritual superiority. I don't know if you guys ever saw the politically incorrect thing with Bill Maher where...
No, but I found out I'm something... There's a new thing out. Like, there used to be, like, Indigo Children or whatever. There's a new thing now called Rainbow Children. You know about this? It's kids who are born after a woman has a miscarriage. Like, supposedly, it's like the one kid wasn't ready and it came out later. And it's better to be a rainbow child. I'm a rainbow kid. My mother had a miscarriage a year before I was born. So I'm special, according to New Age.
So am I, but I just called myself the afterbirth.
Elvis Presley was one of those, too.
I always like to disparage myself. Man. Anyways, rainbow child, that's craziness.
Go on.
Anyways.
That's sexist. Wait a minute.
So there's this thing with feminists though, that where they say that the world needs more female energy, right? We need Hillary Clinton because women will bring something to politics that men can't provide, as if there's some mystical aspect to women, right? And I've come across this since I first started looking at you know, feminist studies and so on. They have women's ways of knowing. And that sounds pretty mystical, right? Mm. And I find it really intriguing now with the trans movement, where it's mostly men saying that they know that they're female. And so I've talked to some of them and said, okay, well, I'm female, but I don't know what it means to be a woman, like what it is about me that's womany, but you're 100% sure you know. Yeah. So can you explain to me what it is? Yeah. This womany, I think that's the best description, because this is what they're talking about, is this women's spirituality, this women's mystical, sensitive kind of self. Now, when you grow up around women and being forced to have women as your peer group, you will find that they're not extremely gentle and sensitive. They're quite vicious.
Not all of them.
And
a lot of them can be.
Oh, my sisters definitely were. I grew up with two sisters. Yeah, we used to throw blows. They would throw blows.
I don't know. I'm wary of anything that just overly qualifies all of them. Like, I'm looking at a headline now that says, white Americans are the biggest terror threat in the U.S., says study. You know, statistically, that might be true today because, you know, somebody shot up a school. But do you really believe women are violent, period, or women are aggressive, period, or most women or some women, or more women than people would like to admit, is what I would say.
I think that they're no less violent than men are.
There you go.
Excellent. They just
that's good.
They just find a different way to express it. And that's part of what I'm doing, is not trying to create the impression that women are evil or something like that. I'm trying to balance the narrative by eliminating this mystical crap that women have some sort of amazing way of knowing things, or that they're always soft and gentle, and if some conflict arises, that it must be the man at fault because the woman is obviously innocent and pure and divine in some way. And until we get rid of that, and this is a core thing, the people believe this about women, just, you know, they think it's intuitive or it's just a known thing, and it's not true. It's part of the narrative. That I think if we're really looking for equality between men and women, you have to get rid of this mystical thinking. And you have to just deal with women like a person instead of like some magical female. They're not.
I'm taking a picture of my boob, but not for the reason people usually do. It's not like, hi. It's because Chris Cantwell has a new logo that he probably doesn't know, but I have it as a tattoo. Like, he's copying my tattoo. I have a really bad jailhouse tattoo of a old-timey bomb with Boris Badenoff lighting it. All right, carry on.
I thought you were just trying to get in touch with your feminine side.
Well, it would look like that if someone looked in my window. They'd be like, wow, he's taking a really gay selfie over there of his enlarged man, his C-cup man boobs. All right, carry on.
Well, that kind of ties back to what you said we were going to call the show here. You're trying to get in touch with your feminine side, taking a picture of your boob, right?
Boob. Whatever.
But you were asking me earlier about male feminists, right? And you know, this little button phrase you had, that they're just trying to get laid by saying that they're a feminist.
Yeah.
And I think that's one aspect to it. But I also think that they're fooled by this idea that was sold to them, which is that men need to get in touch with their feminine side, and it will make them better.
Cool.
More peaceful.
Middle feminist.
After this trip to the patriarchal market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah. We're feeling our feminine sides right now. Are you feeling it?
Speak for yourself.
Joe, one of the things...
I think my boobs are bigger than yours. I can say that.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Okay, go on.
I think I got you both beat. Difference. All right, anyways.
Jim picks or it didn't happen. Go on, Dad.
No.
Now, at the risk of dating myself, who cares?
I date myself. Hey, I just locked the door and date myself. I bought myself some flowers and got a movie. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Now, there was this big thing in the 1980s where men should be more feminine. Men should be, you know, in touch with their emotions and all this other stuff, right?
I remember.
And I remember when guys started to try and do that, all of the girls that I was hanging out with, they were complaining. Like, oh my God, he cries more than I do. Like, they were disgusted by it.
Yeah.
And I just looked at them talking about, you know, first of all, they're demanding on guys that guys should change to suit women, to make women more happy. And then they're condemning them for their own plan not working out well, right? Guys didn't just say, let me think. How can I make women happier? Let me try being more feminine. This was a thing that women said to men, we want you to do this. And with all this talk of women being oppressed, what happened? Men actually tried to change their entire social presentation to please women.
And that's when we got the whole metrosexual thing, didn't we? Didn't we? Isn't that where that came from, the metrosexual thing?
Yeah. Well, I think that's just guys getting more interested in
product,
how much fun they can have with having manicures and stuff like that. Have you ever had a pedicure?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Should I?
I can't do it.
A woman took me.
I can't imagine having somebody touch my feet in a way that's meant to be pleasurable. It's just like feet are gross to me. I don't want anyone to see them. It's just a part of me that has to exist. It's like I just don't look at them to try and deny my animal nature. I think feet are evidence of our animal natures because they're just so ugly.
I think Gerald W. Perry would disagree, but anyway, he loves feet. So
there's people with foot fetishes, actually.
Yeah,
I just like if somebody ever told me they had a foot fetish, I'd be like, all right, well, there's no point even talking anymore. Well, I don't pursue relationships anyways, especially romantic crap. That's actually one of the biggest things with my channel. It's not so much anti-feminist. I'm anti-relationship in terms of romance.
You date yourself.
I date myself. I think it's a great experience, and everybody should actually.
Well, why can't you take
find themselves the best date in the world?
Then? I guess you'd have to rub your own feet.
Yeah, well, I mean, someone's got to do it at some point because they do have to get clean, you know.
Yeah,
but I think this denial of animal nature that I've admitted to myself that none of you have, but I'm just going to assume that we all have this fear that we're just. Animals that die and nothing else is important about us. Yeah, that's like a common experience for the human being.
Sure.
I think that's what cult people are preying on. So just to bring it back to the topic of conversation.
Say it again. About cults. What's the basic human need cults are trying to deliver?
The question about cults is not why does somebody try to gather a following? The question is why do people follow them?
You know, there's one of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts, Bill Bupert, who is a retired Army officer and expert in asymmetrical warfare, like, you know, like basically teaching soldiers how not to get blown up by IEDs. Or, you know, he could probably lead a revolution, too, with sticks and pistols and rocks. But he has a great saying. He says that question authority, you know, the button in the 60s was always question authority. He said, question authority isn't the question you should be, isn't the statement you should be saying. The statement you should be saying is question obedience. And it's the same thing you just said about cults. And it holds true for, any other religion, like governments, the state.
But they kind of know like why people join cults.
Well, yeah, anybody can stand up in the beer hall and say, "Follow me, we need to get rid of the other." But without people cheering in the beer hall, it doesn't turn into a movement, you know?
Right. But the reason is because people look for kind of like a parental figure. And usually cults usually attract people who are kind of in that transitional phase from becoming a child to an adult. And so they get those kind of people in those transitional phases. They just move into a new town, new college, broke up with a girlfriend, whatever. And those people are usually like they just got off of living at home with their parents or whatever. And humans have like the longest span of a parental relationship of any other animal on the face of the planet. Like we have like 18 years,
I know.
I think usually like at most it's probably like a few months.
And the government is trying to like extend that here. Like, oh, we'll make you be on your parents' health insurance till you're 26.
Yeah. And so they get out of the home and they're looking for another parental figure. They don't realize that they're looking for another parental figure, but then they end up finding one in some sort of guru, be it Till Swan or Stefan Molyneux. Till Deer is not a cult leader, I don't think.
I don't know. No,
he's quite amazing. I like Till Deer. Yeah. That came up actually in the comments. People are going, are Till Deer and Till Swan related? I'm like, nah. There's very little. Yeah, I'm sure if Till Deer actually was exposed to Till Swan's videos.
Till Deer. I'm looking now. Okay.
I know. Yeah. He's not a fake anything. He's actually a deer who's teal colored. So, you know, he gets a pass. He's not a fake. But I think this vulnerability that you know, you were talking about with, parenting and so on. Like, people still are hurt by their parents' lack of approval, even when they're adults, right? Mm-hmm. And there is a real vulnerability to everyone. We try to hide it and we, you know, create facades and we accomplish things in our lives to, you know, barricade all of the vulnerable aspects of our state of being, right? But we still know it's there. And that's the thing that these cult people are preying upon. And they're also fulfilling their own sense of vulnerability by pumping themselves up. And it feeds off of itself. The more power they get, the more they need, the more they get addicted to it. And I really do think that Stefan Molyneux started out as somebody who didn't expect anyone to listen to him. And he's grown now. He gets more.
Isn't that how all cults start, or like, you know, viral YouTube channels start? Like, you have experience with this. You're not leading a cult. You couldn't lead a cult because you irk people too much. You don't placate them. And you don't ask for money. Which you don't ask for money because you don't want men criticizing you, right? For explain that, why you don't ask for like donations or have ads on your YouTube.
Well, for one, I don't need the money to survive. I have a reasonably
keep
good
your day
job.
Job, people. That's what I've been saying forever. Like, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jim and
I'm not doing this fiends, channel for a living.
All the fiends have day jobs. Yeah, it's more pure if you're not asking for money.
Yeah, I do ask for money, but I usually kind of do it like, you're not going to do it anyway, so yeah. I don't care. And no one does give me money, but, you know, I do have something there. Just
all the money, all the fiends donations.
But I don't expect anything.
We get donations like, you know, $80 a month probably, and they go to like running the servers and anything that's left over. I buy buttons and give them away, give them to Davi to give away at events. But
I get donations, but I put that money back into the channel, so I'll buy better equipment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or I'll buy books that will help me research stuff. So
you
all the money I get from the channel is spent on the channel again.
When you started, that's how to do it. When you started, you had no idea you'd end up popular in YouTube, right? Like when you put your first video up, what did you think the response was going to be? To give some insight,
I was really scared.
To give some insight into Molyneux, maybe.
First of all, I started out writing for a website, and I've been writing on forums and active on the internet for like a good 10 years before the YouTube channel. So I'm quite familiar with internet audiences.
Yeah.
But
they're horrible.
And my articles and my writing on forums, the thoughts that then the way I present them always got really strong feedback, right? Really strong negative and really strong positive. And I mean, like before YouTube or A Voice for Men or any of that stuff that happened, I actually had people who hated me so much on the internet, they showed up at my door. Okay.
Wow. Mm.
So you know, when I say stuff,
you can't
I really
shoot
say
people
it.
In Canada when they do that.
No, we don't do that.
We're polite.
But so, you know, the hatred that I get and the vitriol in the comment sections, that doesn't disturb me at all. I'm well used to that. And I admit that I might be wrong about some of the stuff, or I might have a good idea that I go about the wrong way, right? And as my channel progresses, I'm sure I'll work through that stuff. And maybe 5 years from now, I'll look back and say, yeah, that was kind of silly that I thought that was going to be effective, right? But if you're going to say something, say it. Say it strong. And but I don't ask for donations on my videos. A lot of people have the first thing in the description you'll see is how to give them money. I don't do that.
Hashtag please donate.
Yeah. What I want is for people to listen to what I'm saying and then you know, somehow respond to that in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And you know, for as many people who say that I'm destroying the world, there's many people who actually, even without donating, will contact me and say, wow, you've really helped me. Like some guy just told me today that he didn't go into this what would have been a terrible relationship. Right. And he realized that it was a trap, that it was going to be something really toxic to him.
It's a trap. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And you and I both have like victories we can point to, and yours are usually guys not getting married or getting in horrible relationships, and mine are usually young guys who are ready to join the military changing their mind. It's kind of the same thing.
You know? Well done.
Yeah. I've had a few of those.
For every person who tells you that you made a significant difference in their life, it makes up for every 1,000 people who say that they hate you.
Yeah. There you go.
Those 1,000 people don't matter. Yeah. I've calculated it out.
1,123.
Yeah. But also, because I deal with a group of people, a group of men who have been hurt by women before, and I am female, if I was to make a big deal of getting donations and stuff, I would just be another woman who's just leeching off of men, right? So that's another reason to not even run advertisements like Google or like YouTube ads on my channel, because if somebody has to watch an ad to watch my video, for one, I just think that disrupts the video. Yeah. And you don't make enough money to make that worthwhile. But second of all, it's just going to feed the tinfoil hat wearing people who think that I'm just faking everything I say, even though all of my videos have been 100%, as far as I know, 100% consistent in my message. They're still going to say if I ask for donations, it's that it's some sort of proof that I'm a liar and a fraud or something. So,
see, yeah. I disagree with the whole AdSense thing, because I think if you're too dumb to not install an ad blocker, you deserve to watch an ad and pay me.
Yeah.
We'll be back after these ads.
Well done.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. This is the last segment in hour one of 2 hours. So it's some redemption in the fourth act, but not the final redemption in the eighth act. So, Diana Davison, why do you think feminism is a cult?
Well, if you had to grow up with them in close quarters the way I did, they were my peer group, you might hate them too.
You got sisters and brothers and stuff.
You know, to be hopefully helpful to feminists who really think that they're involved in something positive, I would like to share why I don't believe in feminism.
Go ahead.
When I first encountered it, I was quite sucked into this victimhood idea that the things that were bad about my life that caused me problems that stood as walls against my avenues to success, that it wasn't, that it was some sort of patriarchy, some sort of conspiracy of the world against me. And shortly after reading this stuff, I realized I was starting to feel horrible about life. And that if I continued with this approach, seeing the world as being against me, that and myself as a victim, that I actually do think that positive thinking brings about positive results. And I decided that my life would probably turn out better if I didn't take that attitude. And so I left it behind. And when you, I think to really see the cult aspects of feminism, you have to engage with it. Because until you've been sucked into that mind zone, and then you won't be able to see the difference between what that thinking does to you and what it's like when you don't think that way, right?
Yeah.
If you've never experienced a cult, you have no idea how a person gets drawn into it, why it's appealing to them, and how they get stuck in it. And another example would be a in this whole feminist idea of rape culture, right? The only time I've really experienced anything like rape culture was when I went to a forum that was supposed to help women who'd experienced a rape recover from it. And they just re-victimized themselves over and over and over again. There was no healing going on.
Middle East is a rape culture. Some of it is, I would say. Well, if there's any rape culture in the world right now, they could be called out.
What first world feminists are talking about in terms of the West, the USA and Canada, and first world countries having rape cultures, that's an entirely different thing. Like,
yeah,
rape is illegal. It's been illegal for as long as I've been born and as long as these feminists have been alive. It's been in something that's illegal. We do not approve of this act. The idea that rape is normal is something that you find when you go to these rape survival groups, where they talk as if every single woman in the world has been raped and that happens to them all the time. And I actually felt like I was walking around with the words rape victim tattooed on my forehead when I went outside. And I was like, oh my God, I've never been more miserable in my life than when I joined this supposed healing forum.
Well, they expand it to every like interaction with men is some form of rape, right?
Oh yeah. You get the total crazies, the people that say that all PIV, which is penis and vagina, all PIV is rape. And that it's impossible to have any sort of heterosexual encounter without it being rape.
With women who believe that, what's their plan for the furthering of the species? I mean,
unless artificial insemination,
unless it's artificial insemination of like men being kept in, you know, locked up like cows or something. There's, you know, you're going to die out. Unless you allow rape.
Well, there actually is a girl that actually advocates something like that. I don't know if she's a troll. It's been argued that she has, but she goes by the name like the Femitheist, and she wants to reduce the male population by like 90%.
Oh yeah, I've heard of her.
She's Hitler Barbie.
Hitler Barbie. She's adorable, but man, is she Hitler.
I really do think she was trolling.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure she's trolling, but I don't know. Who knows? I actually had a conversation with her before she got really famous, when she was just a small-time YouTuber, and I stumbled across her channel, and I was like, "Are you kidding me? Are you trolling?" Yeah, she tried to make it convincing. I don't know. I just was not really that convinced. I was just like, okay.
She had some really great production value in her videos, though. Her intro and everything, and her logo design. But I think, like, I actually know somebody who started a YouTube channel pretending to be some sort of a Christian evangelist, radical. And he got followers who actually believed what he was saying. And it was a parody channel. It was a joke. And he actually shut down the whole channel because he realized he was building a cult of some sort. That what was a joke to him, other people, he had no idea how many other people would take him seriously.
That's not the first time that's happened. I've heard that before.
Wrap that up in 20 seconds or less. And then we'll go to the ads and then the second hour.
Feminism up?
Yeah. Wrap the first hour up.
It's a cult.
Ten
feminism is a cult.
All right. Cool.
And that's all you need to know.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Hold on, hold on. Let me get the thing.
Let's get the thing. I don't care. Time clock, you know what? We're on the air, man. It's your problem. The Freedom Fiends. What you got, Jim? You got the thing?
No, I don't have the thing. Seriously? Oh, man. This is the Freedom Fiend. Sorry to interrupt. Broadcasting from Libertarian Reeducational Center or something, rather. The show is covered by a PIPCOT, no government license. You can learn... keeps away government or something. You can learn more at PIPCOT.org.
Consummate professional.
I am a...
We're like, you know, Jim's really good. We haven't had him on much this show. Let's put him on. Let's get in there, coach. Come on. Like, show the team what you got.
He's not cult leader material, but he is a good radio host.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to say, were you ever spanked before you?
You're imitating
the reason why you just threw me on.
You're imitating Stefan Molyneux. No, we're going to talk about Stefan Molyneux. Explain who Stefan Molyneux is, why people who've never heard of him should care, and why we just won't give up on him.
Because he's a cult leader. You want the more expanded version? Stefan Molyneux, yeah, it was a guy who started a podcast and later started a cult with his podcast. He is an anarcho-capitalist. I guess he's an MRA. He doesn't like to say that he's an MRA, marriage advocate. And now he's into this whole, the race realism thing. Either way, like he's been accused of a cult. He's been featured on many programs, especially in the UK, regarding some of the things that he's done. And the reason why people should care about this is because libertarians don't necessarily like this guy. And yet he's one of the guys who gets most of the press coverage in the anarcho-capitalist circles. And so when people see like anarcho-capitalism in the future, then I hope people don't go, hey, you know, that's the thing that one cult leader preaches, right?
Yeah, we're like,
you know,
one
someone
comet.
Would say, oh,
we're,
I heard on the radio that you know, these comet. People don't like him.
We are one comet away from future history books having one paragraph on anarcho-capitalism and it just being a picture of Stefan Molyneux and like three lines saying he invented the non-aggression principle, which he did not, but people think he did.
And I've ran into people who thought that he invented the non-aggression principle.
I know,
and
man.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It really sounds like that.
Well, when
you know, I haven't studied anarchy before. I haven't really studied anarchy the way you guys have.
I've done.
And when
anarchy.
I first heard about it, I was on Molyneux's channel, and it comes across like he invented it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what all the great cult leaders
podcast.
Do. All the great cult leaders do that. I mean, whether they're Christian cults or whatever, they insert themselves in, you know, a previously accepted bastion of knowledge, you know, cornucopia of knowledge. And they either act like they invented it or like they are the unique conduit to it.
Yeah.
Well, what Stefan claims makes him unique is that he's the anarchist who also combines the no spanking.
Oh, I like that you brought up Dr. Spock the other day because I've never heard anyone else bring up Dr. Spock in conjunction with Stefan Molyneux. I'm like, you know, he claims he's the first person to have come up with this peaceful parenting, don't spank your kids thing. I was born in 1964. I was the fourth of four kids. When I was five, there was a book that had been in our house for like 15 years by Benjamin Spock, Dr. Benjamin Spock, on why you shouldn't spank kids.
Yeah.
It was
and
a
I
bestseller.
Remember in the 80s, there was a big revival of it in the 80s.
a lot of conservatives
and
say
I
it's what's
when
wrong
I was a kid
with America.
Too. Yeah. I've
That's
actually
why
heard
we
the
have
phrase
timeouts.
That Spock failed. Yeah. When he died, they had a big thing like, oh, yeah, he was just a failure anyway. And I was like, really? Was he?
Well, Dr. Spock is why we have timeouts, because they were encouraging parents to find different ways to admonish their children. Right. And, you know, the criticism of him is that we've got this child-centered rearing now where children have very little idea that they're not the center of the universe and that... You know, what suits them isn't the most important thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
The question of child rearing that the problem is that it comes down to, I guess, in a way, with Molyneux, this idea of the blank slate. So he's been criticized for this. And the way he talks about child rearing and how to create his utopia, his combination of the no spanking and anarchy, is that that children are blank slates. And if you raise them according to all of his principles and he becomes your guru, that his target isn't you. His target is, he said, we can't do this in a generation. So I'm counting on you to raise your children my way.
That's so culty, man. That's so like Stalinistic. That's, you know, it wasn't Adolf Hitler, but it was somebody high in the Nazi party who said something like, you know, give me a child at five and I have him for life. I mean, that's the Hitler youth. That's taking the kids away from, it's public school. It's like every control mechanism, every mass mind control mechanism ever has basically had the underlined parenthetical of, you know, you're not the target, your kids are. Give me your kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what Molyneux does to an anarchist principle, like the, you know, non-aggression principle. He says, you know, he tells you about the non-aggression principle, that you shouldn't initiate force. But then he says that you're aggressing upon him if you raise your child wrong, because your child will grow up to be an arsonist. And that kid might set his house on fire. Your kid will be a thief, and he has to now buy special locks for his doors and video cameras to monitor his property. And ultimately, he'll probably have to move. So you're not raising your child properly is actually an aggression upon him.
Wow.
What's interesting is that Molyneux is kind of moving away from that kind of blank slate ideology now that he's accepting the, you know, the race, IQ, and crime statistics is all
turning
into
a conservative Republican, like Rush Limbaugh type, really.
No, he's turning more into the kind of neo-reactionary, kind of alternative right type person.
Like who? Like, who would he fit on the same shelf with?
Molyneux and Trump, 2016.
Yeah. You know, Trump is somewhat neo-reactionary, but not that much. Probably like the right stuff.biz, fascists, national socialists, that sort of. And I'm not using that term like, oh, fascists.
No, in the actual term.
I'm talking about the actual economic position of fascism. Yeah. He still maintains he's an anarcho-capitalist, and he still maintains, you know, no spanking, and he still has a little of that tabula rasa thing going on. But even now, he's kind of abandoning that for, you know, this neo-reactionary type view.
Well, anyhow, one of the things that Hassan points out, Steve Hassan, about cults is that they will convince you that you were abused in your childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And then you reject everything from your past.
I've had psychiatrists
essentially make you a blank slate.
Do you guys have any experience with psychiatry? I've had very little experience with it, but, you know, like weeks or a couple months of it tops, and right after I got sober, and the lady, she was not a shrink, she was an MSW, Master of Social Work, and she convinced me that my parents abused me. And it was more like my parents, I was just a latchkey kid, and they were too busy working 80 hours a week to, you know, really. I liked it. I mean, I got to raise myself. What's cooler than that for a smart kid? But, you know, she convinced me it was abuse. Is that common?
I think it is.
Yeah, I've had issues, like not issues with therapy. I've had, you know, therapy, nothing too bad. It was just my parents were a little bit concerned that I was going to commit suicide because I was really into Nirvana for a while. I was fine, but they ended up turning it on them and saying like, okay, what's wrong with you? But I've never had a problem like anything like that. They didn't think that they were abusing me or anything like that. They just thought they were a little bit overzealous.
Your parents thought you had a problem because you listened to Nirvana?
Yeah, because they were kind of into that whole back and control center.
But did you
type
listen
of
to
BMRC
Nirvana backwards?
I wish that would have been cool. I don't think CDs
well,
did that back
check
then.
This out. All the members of
Nirvana. I bet if you listen to Nirvana backwards, it says Courtney Love killed me.
All the members of Nirvana were listening to my band around that time. What does that say about them and then by extension about you?
Mm-mm. I'm going to have to think about that for a day or two.
Yeah. What your parents really should have been worried about was you're listening to music that might be influenced by Michael Dean's music.
All right. Yeah, that was brought up during therapy. That would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting thing, though. Like, how often have bands been accused of, you know, motivating some psycho killer, right? And they blame the band for it? Oh, and I think that that's actually something important to realize, that, you know, people like Molyneux ultimately aren't responsible for the actions of all of their listeners.
That's right? A thing that comes up a lot. And, you know, I mean, I remember when Judas Priest was sued because two kids in Vegas, I think it was, killed themselves in, like, God, 1981 or something, 79, real long time ago. And the lawsuit lost, you know, after a lot of time in court, they did not, the band was not found responsible for what the kids did. And that was one of the first time in my life that I had heard this concept. It's really common now of, like, you triggered someone to do something, you're responsible. You know, like, it wasn't common back then. And I remember that. And yeah. What's that? What does it lead to now?
That's something that came up with both Molyneux and Teal Swan, was that they've had followers that killed themselves.
Well, that's a really common critique. Like, all three of us have criticized Molyneux extensively on the internet. I've interviewed people who were in his inner circle. You know, Jim and I are kind of part of the canon, and you are now becoming, Diana, part of the canon of what people point to when they criticize Molyneux. And we've all had all the critique, like, and it breaks down into, like, four or five comments from Molyneux lovers. One of them is a concern troll, someone who's like, hey, bro, I really like your show. I listen to it all the time, but I'm really concerned that you're spending too much time on Molyneux, which is a trick from someone who doesn't spend any time at all listening to your show. They're just trying to they don't want you to block them. They want you to actually consider, oh, maybe I need to. That's called a concern troll. There's the against.
Well, actually, someone was concern trolling me the last show, during the show. Someone was actually instant messaging me. Yeah.
And then there's the
I got accused of having a crush on Molyneux because I did.
I've never
the last
that
video.
I've been accused of having a crush on Cantwell, but that's
you love Molyneux and all the splotchy goodness.
I don't. But then there's the against me argument, and then there's the not an argument, which are you get the same thing over and over from hundreds or dozens of people, to the point where I'm pretty sure Molyneux sits down with his inner circle and maps these things out, and then has the inner circle go to the outer circle and say, these will be your responses. You will spend an hour a day following up with anyone who doesn't like Molyneux and using these tactics. There's another tactic. What's the one that I'm missing? There's one that's really important.
I know that there's one that where I get constantly called the statist, because clearly if you disagree with Stefan Molyneux, who is the king of
anarchy,
philosophy, the salvation of philosophy and anarcho-capitalism, that you have to be pro-state.
You got any more, Diana? Do you think of any others?
Well, they use the forums for this. On the forums, they have a thing saying, how do you deal with this question? And then they tell each other how to respond to it.
It's another one, though. I'll get it for the next segment. Forums.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends. Diana Davison, Michael Dean, that's me, and Jim Jesus. We're talking about cults.
Jim Jesus.
In particular, Stefan Molyneux right now, who has said, he will sue anyone who calls him a cult. I don't think he will, because that would involve bringing an expert into court. It would probably involve bringing Hassan into court, you know, because he'd be the expert the court would hire, or you'd hire in the court. Yeah. So
Rick Ross will attest the same thing too.
Yeah, and basically
he's actually on his website too.
And basically, once that gets said by an expert in court and read into the record, it's true to most people. Mm-hmm. You know, so he doesn't want to do that. All right, so I remembered the criticism that I get a lot when I criticize Molyneux and say he's running a cult. People say, so what if he is, you know, his followers are adults, which isn't always true. A lot of them are 14, 13, 12. But, you know, most of them are probably 18 or 19. So what does it matter? They, you know, people can be responsible for themselves. What do you guys say to that?
Well, I think that it's a misconception that it's only silly people who get sucked into a cult. Mm-hmm. Very intelligent people get sucked into it because...
On average, they're higher intelligence.
Yeah, yeah. Because you want to align yourself with other people who think the same. You want to create a sense of stability in your life where you can put a framework onto the very scary world that you walk out into every day. And when somebody does that charismatically... And, you know, as Molyneux was called all the time, quite eloquently, then you think, okay, I've got a really great framework now. And then cognitive dissonance kicks in. So you're actually blocked from hearing the things that would help you to assess the situation properly.
Yeah. And so, I think that smart people often have felt their whole life that, like, somewhere someone has lied to me, like, you know, the stupid people who run the world, like, the things you're told are not true in general. You know, there's lies in the TV, there's lies in the political structure, there's lies in school. You know, you're institutionally lied to your whole life. So when you hear someone with who's smart and has a, you know, strong personality like Molyneux saying, you are smart to have noticed that you are being lied to, it opens you up to being lied to more, you know, like, oh, I found the key, you know.
Yeah. Right before we started the show, I came across a clip that somebody uploaded of Molyneux addressing the cult accusations. Mm. And he said that cults are serious things, and people who throw the C word around like that have obviously suffered extreme verbal abuse in their childhood.
Ah, that's his other critique is Jim was joking about it earlier. Yeah. He was like, oh, well, you spanked as a child. You're imitating his answer to everything.
Mm-hmm. Anytime people have a call, like when they call into the call-in show and they have a criticism of him and they're doing really well, he'll immediately go like, well, you know, what's your history with therapy? Like, what was your childhood like? Did your mother spank you? Did she leave you at daycare or abandon you at daycare? That's the term that he uses.
Well, here's I liked Molyneux. I was never really a follower of him, but about 4 or 5 years ago, I interviewed him on my old podcast. And the interview was going pretty well for about a half an hour. And then he started psychoanalyzing me. Like, it really seemed creepy and it struck me off. You know, like, there's thousands of people listening and this guy all of a sudden is asking me about my parents and what they did to me. And I'm like, I didn't sign up for this. This feels like some kind of violation, you know?
Yeah. But what you asked earlier was, you know, like, what do you say to people who respond with the whole, you know, well, you know, they're their own agents. They can, you know, they can do whatever they want. You know, they're adults, assumptively. I don't know what the right word is. But that's not entirely true, because if you think about it, there's two people doing actions. There's someone leading and there's someone following. Those are actions that people are taking. And you just can't say that it's only one person's fault. It's only the person leading the cult, or it's only person the following the cult. It takes two to tango. And you would not blame the person who fell for the Nigerian scam 100% for falling for the Nigerian scam. You would also blame the scammer, right? But you would also say, like, hey, why didn't you notice these, you know, big red flags at the same time? So there's a little bit of balance between the two.
Yeah.
Well, that ties into, like, my recent research on lie spotting too, which is, it's a cooperative act. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can only be lied to if you want to believe the lie. And so somebody who gets sucked into a financial fraud, it's because they want to believe this investment return that they're being sold. And this greedy part of themselves gets sucked into it. And I think to some degree with cults, even when they're not spiritual cults, there's this part of you that wants to believe you're the smart one, that you're the spiritually superior one. And that's why you've come across this leader who's going to somehow prove to the world all of these qualities in yourself that they claim you possess just by following them.
Yeah.
Right? But he calls himself a philosopher, and what I find is he's mostly doing psychotherapy.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you my little sample question and answer thing when we come back.
How many times were you spanked, Diana?
A couple, actually.
Yeah, me, just one. One by each parent. Molly would say
you're
that
listening
did it.
To the Freedom Team.
Conservatives say it's
and
not
I'm
enough.
Beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah,
well, then do it, Jim.
Freedom Fiends.
La, la, la. Sorry to interrupt. But, yeah, we were talking about Stefan Molyneux. He's our
fit. Molly, no,
he's
nuts.
he's our sworn enemy.
I put a fat wad on him. It's kind of like a fat.
We
wad.
We also put a fat wad on Cantwell. Too,
fat so. Wad on Cantwell. Yeah.
So, Stefan Molyneux likes to pretend that he's like this libertarian person, and he talks about libertarianism, and that's the lure to bring people in. And he's even said explicitly that it's all bait, that it's all just a way to get people to come in so that he can talk about psychology. And anytime that you call into his call-in show and they say, like, hey, let's talk about philosophy. Yeah, yeah, philosophy.
He said psychology. But, you know. But that was this Freudian slip. That's what he really
That's what I'm saying is that he brings people in. Yeah. He brings people in under the guise, we're going to talk about philosophy. We're going to talk about anarchism and libertarianism and economics. And then when they come in, they say, like, well, okay, tell me about your childhood. Tell me about your parents. Tell me about your friends. Tell me about everybody in your family. And that's the lure. And he said, and there's a video of this, where he says that his show is a bait and switch tactic, where he gets people in to come into that and then starts talking about something else. And this is evident when you watch some of his shows, when people will call in and say, hey, I want to debate you on your position on immigration. And it immediately goes into, it sounds like you have some childhood trauma, some unexplained childhood trauma. Like, tell me about your childhood.
I actually came up with a sample question of how Molyneux is dealing with anarchy questions. Now, this is a made up one, but this is just a sample of what happens, right? So the question, let's say, is how would justice or civil disputes be resolved without the state in an anarchy kind of civilization? And his response would be, why are you so concerned with justice? How were you disciplined as a child?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And so he doesn't actually deal directly with these questions. What he wants to do first is put his caller at a disadvantage by getting them to open up and expose very private things about themselves. And
which is called 101.
And also, when you get people to go back into their childhood, one of these things I listened to, he insisted that the guy couldn't talk about his childhood abuse without getting emotional. He said, that's not normal. You've just told me something that's very traumatic, and you said it in a very calm way. He forced the kid to get emotional. Otherwise, he wasn't being human. And when you do that, take people back into a childhood memory, you reduce them mentally to the age they were at the time those things took place. So he's not actually on his show dealing as an adult to an adult. He's dealing as an adult to a child because he takes them into the childhood memories, making them mentally that age again. That's the way I see it on a large portion of them.
And it is a trick.
Yeah, it's very manipulative.
That's an essential aspect to forming a cult, is to convince people that they've all been abused and traumatized, and to get them into this state of needing to be reparented. And he's not telling them how to reparent themselves. He's taking that position as the peaceful parenting guru. right? I'll not only parent you, but I'll teach you how to parent your children.
The audacity, man. That's just mind-blowing. And the guy's really smarmy, too. Like, you see videos of him, he just seems really smarmy. You know, Diana, you mentioned in passing that he'd been involved with Landmark. I want to expand on that a little bit. Landmark was a economic cult. What's the word for that, Jim? Money cult. It's a name for
A financial cult.
A financial cult, yeah. In the 70s, it was a twist off of EST, Erhard Seminar Training.
I think it actually is EST.
Okay.
EST. And they just lost control of it and then went to his brother.
I actually got taken to an EST meeting when I was homeless, when I was a homeless punk rocker in D.C. in 83. My drummer, this guy named Michael Sulkind from the band No Trend, and he was later in my band, The Day I Lost My Virginity was the band's name. He took me. I had nothing to do. I was homeless. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. They got, free cookies and, coffee. Yeah, I'll go. So I went, and within a half an hour, these strangers were berating me in a hotel conference room, trying to get me to verbally commit to where I was going to come up with $700. I didn't even have money for my next meal. They were like, well, do you have any relatives? Do you have anything you can sell? Do you have this? Creepy crap. And they used Molyneux uses this hypnotic technique. What is it called? There's a name for it.
I call it the dead eye stare.
Yeah, that's one of them.
The thousand mile stare. That's
the thousand yard stare. That's what snipers get. That's shell shock. But no, he has inappropriate pauses is what Diana's talking about, right?
Pregnant pauses.
Yeah, really, really pregnant pauses. Yeah.
It just cracks me up when I see that. I'm just because his intended effect is to make you think that he's intensely connecting with you. But what I just see is what? What just happened? What's going, did I say something?
Dead air. Why? What is all this dead air? You could have just said you this farted. In 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally isn't hitting his intended argument. Okay, well, this Landmark Forum thing. I actually almost got sucked into researching that because cults really, they really intrigue me. And I think it's an important thing to deal with, especially with the internet now and the internet cults like Molyneux that are starting up. And I've backed off from calling him a cult. Obviously, I'm not backing off so much anymore. But
I haven't.
But
neuro-linguistic programming. I think he does that. Yeah. I think he studied that. But that only
his brother was into Landmark. His brother took him to the Landmark Forum. And Molyneux, when he referenced it, said, oh, I knew that they were just pulling some sort of trick and I was too smart for them. And I pulled a fast one on them. Right. He makes it sound like he outsmarted Landmark.
Yeah.
But then in other discussions about that experience, he talks about having been very much sucked into it to the point where it was one of the big breaking points with him and his brother.
Landmark's still around. They're having a meeting in Denver next week.
Yeah. Who really likes Landmark? I don't know if he still does, but Mark Edge from Free Talk Live is a member of Landmark Education. I used to call in long time ago and used to talk about it with Ian so that Ian would turn around and harass Mark.
Well, Mark,
it was just loads of
Mark is a businessman and a good one. I mean, Mark is able to, Mark and Ian make a good living at something no one should be able to make a living at. It's something I can't make a living at. They do syndicated libertarian radio. We do syndicated libertarian radio. They make a living at it and have for, probably 8 out of the past 10 years. Mark was in prison. You learn interesting survival techniques in prison too. He spent 9 years in prison.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. I think that Molyneux learned some stuff from Landmark. And, that's what smart people do when they have a bad experience.
They take they one from column
find a way
a,
to make it useful
B.
to them.
Yeah.
And
a lot of cult members are ex-cult members themselves or cult leaders or ex-cult members themselves. Sorry.
Deprogrammers. Steve Hassan was a cult member. He was in which one was he? Moonies. Yeah.
The Moonies. Yeah. But one of the things Landmark does is they isolate you in this room and you're not allowed to bring in any headache medicines or over-the-counter stuff. You're not given any food or any beverage or anything. You're just pretty much put into this, you know, really small, isolated space with none of your essential needs and kept there for an extremely long amount of time. And then they get you to go up on stage and they break you down. They force you to reveal things about your private life and they force you to fall apart in front of an audience and then they build you up again. And that is exactly what Molyneux does on his call-in
shows. Yeah. Yep.
So I think he picked up a lot of stuff from Landmark.
And they also make you clean the toilets and leave everything cleaner than you found it.
Leave it better than you found it.
Yeah. That's actually
true. With the toothbrush. And then you have to use that toothbrush later.
I wish I was joking, but that was the term that I heard on Free Talk Live when they were talking about
Landmark. Well, it kind of sounds like education. Basic training. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Every army in the world has mastered this technique of taking, like, I mean, think about what armies do. They take, you know, normal citizens from a wide variety of backgrounds and in 6 weeks teach them to kill on command. That is counterintuitive to, you know, human societal desires, but they can do it in like 6 weeks or less.
But they kind of
have to.
This
is one of the things that feminists say, though, about men is that men are so violent and men will kill. But when you look at the army, they have to be trained to do it.
No,
it's against their nature.
They're brainwashed to kill. And a lot of cult experts will even tell you that the military uses cult-like brainwashing. And it's kind of important if that's kind of their goal is to get people to survive in these harsh conditions. If someone tells you to drop, you should drop and not ask questions. Where if we were in a war zone and someone told us to get on the floor, we're going to be like, why? And then be dead.
and more the man is a woman. I mean, that's like what feminism is leading to is not, you know, any kind of like, hey, maybe everybody should just be nicer to each other. It leads to, like, you know, Condoleezza Rice and Hillary Clinton getting control of the bombs, killing massive amounts of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, if feminism actually wanted equality between men and women, they wouldn't keep promoting this idea that women have something special to offer.
That's good. Because women would just be people. That's a really good point, man.
What my channel is trying to fight is this idea that there's something special about
women.
Can
you make that into a bumper sticker? It should be like 8 words.
I can tell you what I
will work on it.
What happened to you,
Jim? We'll make buttons.
Buttons.
We'll sell them for $25.
Because they're special? They have to cost more? Yeah. All right, Jim, what you got?
What do you mean, what do I got?
I'll tell you what happened to me.
What happened to me? I wasn't in a cult. Well, I almost joined a cult, but I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so let's. We got about 2 minutes here to finalize Molyneux, and then in the last segment we'll talk about feminism. How's that?
Well, Jim does have something. Jim's banned from Molyneux's channel.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. I've been banned from Molyneux's channel. I was actually banned from his Facebook preemptively. They actually tracked my Facebook down and banned me there because I asked a simple question on the FDR forum, which later they addressed one of the staff members of Free Domain Radio actually made their own thread about it. But I just asked, like, hey, I thought you guys were opposing copyright. Why would you guys use the state? I thought you guys were against that too. Like, what's going on? And I was being very nice and very, very polite and correcting everyone, being very polite. Normally, I'm not that polite, but I was being very polite and was blocked after the third or fourth response or something like that once they found me. And then found me on Facebook, blocked me there. As soon as I commented on one of the channels, and I wasn't even being aggressive at all. Was blocked there, blocked from Twitter, blocked from everything. Everything having to do with Stefan Molyneux related. Nice. Just
Cantwell
because
does
I
too.
Started a
Cantwell does that too.
Oh yeah,
but
I think there's a term for it. It's a block.
Cantwellian fiendbot. Yeah, no. It's some Molyneux fans after that interview with the Inner Circle people, some Molyneux fans tried to take down the Fiend site with something called a sin flood using something called a low orbit ion cannon. That's a piece of software for hacking people. It didn't work. Did not work.
And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Redemption in the third act. Jim Jesus and Diana Davidson are telling us about feminism. And I mean, it's basically a good idea that people should be equal, but nothing with ism at the end ever leads to equality, right, Diana?
Yeah. Well, I mean, originally we were talking about...
Egalitarianism is great.
You know, we were asking why are male feminists so avidly devoted to feminism and so on, given that feminism tells them that all men are rapists.
Because they're beta males and it's the only way they can get some.
Violence, like unlike what the army experiences where you have to be trained to kill, that violence is somehow inherent in the male nature. And they're selling this idea of some sort of divine feminine nature.
Women drown their children all the time.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they do.
And they had to come up with a special name for killing your children.
Infanticide?
Infanticide. Yeah. Because juries wouldn't convict women unless they made it a special, less severely punished crime. Right? And then gave excuses for it, like postpartum depression and things like that. So that women are actually like less, people that are more hesitant to convict women and sentence them harshly. And yet the feminist narrative is that courts are designed by men for men and that women somehow suffer specially in the courtroom. And it's you know, almost the opposite of the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But one of the things you'll see with feminism, if you question them, you're a misogynist or you're a self-hating woman, right? In the same way that if you question Molyneux, well, you're a statist.
Or if you question anything done by anyone who's Jewish, you're
that's not an argument.
Hitler.
Yeah. If you question Teal Swan, well, you've got negative vibrations, or she'll actually accuse people of being a member of the cult that actually supposedly ritually abused her as a child, right? Oh, God. So all criticism is met with that. There was actually a really interesting event in Molyneux's history on the board where a woman went onto his forums and asked him some questions about his book on relationships. And she asked really good questions phrased very politely. And Molyneux's response was, I'm just plain insulted that you didn't ask me why I wrote that. You assumed I said something wrong.
Oh, wow.
So it was a disrespect to him to say that I think you made an error. Because in his world, and if you're a proper follower, Molyneux does not make errors. The only problem is that you failed to understand why he said it.
Yeah. He's got a trick answer for every reasonable question.
Yeah.
And
parlor tricks.
Yeah.
But you'll find that attitude with feminism. If you question them, then you're a misogynist or you're a woman hater or, you know, you're self-hating.
Well,
woman,
I mean, like,
who likes to be oppressed.
A guy I know who I considered a friend up until tonight, who's an intelligent person, told me that you want women to be hit, that you, Diana Davidson, want women to be hit. Instead of getting into it with him and saying, like, prove it, or, you know, name your source, which he couldn't do, I just blocked him. Because I'm 51 years old, and I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I'm too old to argue with idiots who are trying to convince me of something that's not true and won't be swayed. But you don't want anyone to be hit.
It disturbs me that you'd lose a friend.
Yeah, he must not have been that good of a friend, Billy, if he'd... Yeah, no, I don't care.
Well,
I won't let people. I won't let someone push me around and make me choose friends. You know,
Yeah, but it's this attitude that if you question feminism, you're a misogynist or you're a woman hater, that causes people to react so strongly to the types of things that I say.
Yeah.
And then they get in their head that I advocate the beating of women or something like that. Like this replacement story, like nobody knows who I am. I don't talk about myself on my channel for a specific reason, because I don't want people to think they know me. They don't. I want them to think about what I say, not about who I am.
Yeah, if you're on the fiends enough, though, they're going to get to know you. You do more of you on here than you do on your YouTube, I think.
Absolutely.
Except we can see your smiling face on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. But then I get accused popcorn. Of having a fake, gross smile. It's not real.
It's not real. I made it in Photoshop.
She's an angry, negative person who hates everyone.
Yeah. It's been a fun show, man.
Yeah, this is great. I was so upset I got booted off by the internet.
I know, the other day.
Last time I tried.
They had to do a redo.
What a disappointment. But this made up for it.
We didn't really tell you to kick rocks.
The internet.
No. I so wanted to talk to Jim, too. It was great. We got the chance to finally talk. The first show we've done together, Jim and I.
Yeah.
Well, stick around. We'll talk a little after the show. Especially finding out how Jim fixed his modem problem.
I know. Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com for more.
And Lulberts.com.
And Lulberts.com. Worms. Jim does not like National Socialism.
Yay.